Years ago, Pope Paul VI gave an address for the Feast of the Holy Family, and in it he encouraged the faithful to sit in the school of the Holy Family. What he meant by that is there's this kind of teaching that goes on with the Holy Family, and we can learn great spiritual wisdom from understanding the dynamicism of the Holy Family and how they work together as a family unit. So in that way, today I want us to reflect on the virtue of the Holy Family, and in many ways to see the spiritual wisdom come out of it. The first thing I want to focus on is in the Holy Family, they're obscure. The obscurity of the Holy Family. Namely, the two most important people in all of history, Jesus, the God who is man, and Mary, his mother, really didn't hit the limelight or become famous or become these huge important people. They were largely ignored. Even though God became man, nothing really happened because of that. They fled the land and went to Egypt, or nothing prominent happened there. And upon returning, Herod still couldn't find them. The two most important people in history, and the king doesn't even know who they are. Similarly, when Jesus began his ministry, he came back to Nazareth to preach. And after he finished preaching, they said, "Wait a minute, we know who you are. We grew up with you. How are you saying you're so big and powerful and important?" So in many ways, the Holy Family is very obscure or hidden. And their hiddenness can inspire us as well. That in their hiddenness, they have this intimacy with God that can help us in our own spiritual life. This intimacy of sharing between the mother, Mary and Jesus and Joseph, and Mary and Joseph. This interdynamicism teaches us about this kind of pondering the mysteries of God, like Mary did today in our gospel. So in this way, we don't see our spiritual lives as big and prominent and bold, and we go out into the world and say things. No, instead, we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. We're listening to him. We're learning from the Father. We're letting his words permeate our lives and guide us to understand what he wants, who he is, how we come to understand him. That's the hidden life of the Holy Family. In another way, one of the things that always inspires me is their dedication to the laws of the Old Testament. They dutifully followed all the laws. There are 613 of them and lots of things they have to do that makes their lives immensely complicated. But if we listen to them, they never complain. We never mention them about anything about it, except they just do those things. That's just a function of who they are. The very laws of the Old Testament were not the kind of constraint or the limiting factor we think of laws today, that we are constrained by them and want to be free. And finally, we can do whatever we want because we're free of law. That's not the freedom they enjoyed. Instead, they just did them. That's who they are. That's what they do. And so they did all the laws exactly. They did the purification laws. They brought Jesus to the temple for his circumcision. They followed all the customs. They went to all the Passovers. They did all those things. Because in it, they understood something that we often forget. In our second reading from the letter to the Galatians, St. Paul brings that to its fore. Jesus didn't come and said, "Guess what? Here I am. You can do whatever you want now." No, God sent his son underneath all of the Jewish laws, all the Roman laws. He came to be just like us. He was confined by those exact same laws. But those laws teach us something different. St. Paul said that they constrained us at first, made us slaves to the laws. We are bound to follow them exactly, otherwise God will punish us. Instead, when Jesus came, he found a new avenue through him, that now the laws don't constrain us, they make us heirs. They make us sons and daughters of God. They teach us the very nature of God by following them. That's what's so weird. And our first reading makes a good point of that. Here in the book of Numbers, we have the priestly blessing, this wonderful pronouncement of what God wants to do. May God be gracious to you and bless you. May he let his face shine upon you. What does the prayer teach us? The very nature of God. We are talking about God, the Almighty God. We're not naming all these other ones. We're not making our own idea of who God is. We want God, who is gracious and merciful, who blesses us, who in his great bounty shows us his face, that we can see him. Not an idea, not a concept, a person that we can relate to. In this very moment, it's teaching us that the very laws of the Old Testament were not there to confine the Israelites, but to make them certain that God is doing it, not us. That's what's so beautiful about it. By following all those laws, by doing all those things, the Holy Family teaches us that God is the agent. He's the one doing it all. We know it for certain because he set up the laws. Just like at the end of Mass, I don't bless you in my name like I have some super cool powers or something like that. I don't bless you with this idea that I have of God or a concept. I bless you with God's name. The same thing the Israelites got on Yom Kippur, where the high priest came out and pronounced God's name, that all may know who is blessing them. The same thing happens at the end of the Mass. You don't have to wonder about who we're talking about. I pronounce God's name over you as a sign of blessing, that you may know God has blessed you. This is what the Holy Family teaches us, the beauty of Jesus coming to show us through the laws we come to experience God. Through God's very laws, we come to know who he is. And through the way they followed them, we also can see in their example what it means to come to know God. In this way, though, I'm going to turn attention to somewhere else. I'm going to kind of encourage you all in different groups, starting with our elderly. For those of you who are advanced in years, I want to congratulate you. You have done well in working through the very challenges the church has faced through many decades leading up to today. Probably when you grew up, you dealt with the church in a very legalistic mentality. You had to do these things. You had to be here on certain days of the week when there's holy days. You had to follow all these laws. You had to do all these things. So the church felt very legalistic. And that carried forward. It kept you faithful. And then when we hit the 60s through 90s, everything just went radically different. And you kept faithful even when all those changes happened, which means there's something else there. The challenge we have as we grow older is that we get into a routine, and faith can become a routine too. We just do these things. That's what's so wonderful about the Christmas season. It's supposed to inspire us again anew, that if we ever get caught in a routine or a rut, we can ponder again the mysteries in a new way, see new spiritual insights come out of them, and let them invigorate our faith once again. These things come again and again, so each time we're renewed. Each time we see something new that inspires us. Do not get caught in that rut. Let it inspire you anew. Let God come and meet you and teach you something new about himself. There's always something new to explore. For those of you in your middle years, I also commend you. You've worked through all the challenges the church faced in those 60s through 90s decades where everything was so strange and weird, probably feeling like you've never been fully taught the faith, or wondering about so many things that we believe that were never available. Well, this is where I encourage you. Find something new. Go explore. There's so much to explore. The faith can be a lot of fun. But most importantly, celebrate. The thing we've lost because we got locked up in so many things is to celebrate. The church is here. We celebrate the Mass. We don't just do Mass. We celebrate the Mass. We celebrate the seasons. We celebrate the feast days. We are a very celebratory church. And that our goal is to really recognize God's grace means something. It actually brings joy and peace. It brings us a great sense of hope. That's what we want. So we need to celebrate. And the best way to celebrate is to know what and why we celebrate. That's what invigorates us. For those of you parents and grandparents who brought your children, I commend you strongly. You've done what God wants. And this is where we get caught up. So often parents feel like they're wrestling their kids, they're distracted, and all these things are happening in their Mass, and they lost all of the message. That's not how it works. This is why I brought up that legalistic mentality to begin with. When we follow what God wants, regardless of how perfectly, it can be completely missed, but we tried our best. God blesses us. Just by trying to follow his laws, he will give us more grace than we anticipate. It's actually more of a danger when we get caught in the sense that we have to be perfect because we don't open ourselves up to what God can provide. So by bringing your kids here, you have given yourself more blessings than you can imagine because God is grateful that you have done what he asked, which is bring your kids to experience him. Who knows what we actually get? We can ponder it all we want, but the fact is that's where the blessings flow, from trying our best to do what God asks. Now, for those few kids of you out there, I do want to apologize. The Mass seems pretty boring, doesn't it? And I don't blame you. It's not as exciting and enticeful as everything else out there. But this is where I challenge you, to use your imagination. Look around you. Our churches are not whitewashed walls and stark as can be. They're full of imagery and examples and things to stare at and things to ponder. I think all of us could benefit from this. It's time for us to really see the imagery as engaging our spiritual life. Our windows here have various scenes from both the Rosary and the life of Christ, which should allow us to ponder, put ourselves there, come to understand the mysteries we celebrate. Even the very decorations help us to understand the seasons as things happen, like we watched as Mary and Joseph showed up first, and then baby Jesus appeared, then the wise men appear. We're walking through the season as we're explaining the story. This was why our church was developed the way it was, so that we can all see it, feel it, touch it, make it tangible to ourselves as we try to live the life of Christ. So let your imaginations run. You're in a safe space. Go for it. See what happens. Let these things inspire you. Let them be things you can ponder in your mind as the images come to life from our very church and what we celebrate. The Holy Family teaches us great things, and there's more spiritual wisdom than I have given you. They teach us about the hidden life of our prayer, that intimate sharing between us and God that is something special and beautiful as Mary and Joseph and Jesus work together to understand the mysteries of God and to be taught the faith. In the same way, they teach us the beauty that God has given us his entire structure through which we can come to know him and know him truly for who he is. Not have to guess, not have to wonder, but know that God is here and he blesses us and he continues to bless us. So let this inspire us. Let this encourage us as we venture further into the season and as we continue in our life of faith. God is always there to bless us.